There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to the Schmo Zone, where the air is thin, the sports get heavy, with your hosts, the dynamic duo, Dave Schmollinson and Helen Yee.
What is up, party people? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. I'm Dave Schmollinson, a.k.a. the Schmo.
And I'm Helen Yee, sports.
We have an absolutely loaded show for you all today. I mean, we just crowned national champions in college basketball. On the women's side, the South Carolina Gamecocks, and the men's, the UConn Huskies. We'll get to that to start things off. I just came back from Phoenix, Arizona, where I did the Celebrity Slam Jam basketball tournament, where I caught up with the likes of Kyler Murray, Terrell Owens, Robert Griffin III. We'll be playing those interviews shortly. And at the end of the show, we have PFL's light heavyweight champion, Impa Kasaganai, in studio here. He's headlining the fight here at the Virgin Hotels in Las Vegas at the theater Friday evening. So an absolutely loaded show for y'all today.
Yeah, great weekend, like you mentioned. I mean, you're busy out there in Arizona while I stayed here in Las Vegas.
A lot of good festivities going on for the Final Four. We didn't actually stay for the Final Four, but got to partake in all the festivities and see what was going on. But let's just start with the sports world right now. Let's start with Caitlin Clark losing to the South Carolina Gamecocks. The Gamecocks, a female dynasty right there. Caitlin Clark, a remarkable season, shattering all the records in women's college basketball. She's going to go number one overall in the WNBA. Be pretty unique if she can do that and also play in Ice Cube's Big Three. Maybe she can balance both. But Caitlin Clark, certainly going to be a star, I think, in the WNBA like she was in college basketball.
Yeah, well, speaking of her being a star, and like you mentioned, I mean, she, I'm pretty confident, is going to be the number one draft, number one pick in the WNBA draft here in a few days. I believe it begins April 15th. But what's interesting, too, is so the Las Vegas Aces, you know, Caitlin's projected to be drafted to the Indiana Fever, and they play the Aces on July 2nd. Here in Las Vegas. They typically play at the Michelob Ultra Arena, which seats about 12,000 people. But it looks like as of today, it was reported that they're most likely going to move to the T-Mobile Arena, which, I mean, we've been there so many times for fights and various events, and that one can seat about 20,000 people. So even Las Vegas, we're preparing for that Caitlin Clark WNBA, you know, the superstar, and I'm just getting all the fans out and fans interested to watch, just like, you know, how many people really tuned in to watch the college basketball game. I mean, so many people tuned in.
Shattered records. And she certainly has that aura about her. She reminds me a lot of Steph Curry. Steph Curry was a college basketball star at Davidson, but he's been even better in the pros than he was as a college basketball player, one of the best basketball players of all time. She's got that Steph Curry-like effect where she can draw new fans to the game. She brings a whole different element to it, and I just think she's going to continue to blossom as she plays this game, and I think it's only great things for the sport. And being here in Las Vegas, I can't wait to watch her when she comes in town. She's likely not going to be playing for our Aces, but she'll be playing against our Aces.
Yes, and we're going to try to be at that game, but I don't want to look over the fact that South Carolina was undefeated, you know, this whole season, and they won their third title. I mean, they won in 2017, 2022, and now 2024. And Dawn Staley, what an incredible coach. And what I respect about her too is, like, even afterwards, you know, when they won, she said, quote, "I have to congratulate Iowa on an incredible season." And she even shouted out Caitlin Clark and said, "I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for uplifting our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport And it just isn't going to stop here at, on the collegiate tour. But when she's the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's going to lift that league up as well. And I just think Dawn Saley, all class, and congrats. Big shout out to South Carolina. And also Las Vegas Aces, Asia Wilson, also Olympic gold medalist. I mean, she played for South Carolina as well.
And let's not get it twisted. What South Carolina women's basketball has been doing these past few years, absolute dynasty. They are the cream of the crop. They are what the female UConn Huskies team has been in college basketball for quite some time. The Gamecocks are here, but Caitlin Clark's been such a great story, and that's why we spent the time talking about her. And speaking of UConn Huskies, let's go over to the men's side, because UConn last night won their sixth NCAA tournament championship. They're now the second most program and ever for a program in a 25-year stretch behind UCLA's dynasty in the 1960s and 70s. They're 6-0 all-time in NCAA tournament championship games. Their first national title came in 1999. They've done this now with three different coaches. This is the first repeat champs in college basketball since the 2006-2007 Florida Gators. And now the UConn Huskies are tied third all-time for national championships with North Carolina. They surpassed Duke and Indiana, who are both tied at 5. Only Kentucky with 8, UCLA with 11, have more than the UConn Huskies. Statistically, you can argue they've had the best college basketball season of all time in tournament history, with a plus 140 differential in points. UConn as a whole, now let's look at them. They got to be by far the best college basketball program in the country. I'm including men's and women's. The women's team is 11-1 all-time in championship title games. You combine that with the men's, who are 6-0, that's 17-1. They're the only school in the history of college basketball to win in the same season, the men's and women's program, and they did it twice, 2004 and 2014. We talk about the upper echelon in sports. That is what the UConn basketball program has done as a whole. Absolutely stellar stuff for the UConn basketball program. And I can't congratulate Dan Hurley and that squad enough, because it's truly remarkable what they've accomplished now as back-to-back champions.
Well, I know you were glued to the game last night. So did any player in particular really stand out to you?
Well, I mean, it was the first time in 40 years we saw a battle of 2 7-footers. I mean, 40 years ago it was Patrick Ewing and Hakeem Olajuwon. Now we have Zach Edey and Donovan Klingon this year. Klingon's projected to be a lottery pick, and Edey, you know, back-to-back college basketball player of the year. They're talking about, where is he going to go in the draft? Is he worthy of a lottery pick? Is he going to go in the second round? Should we take him in the first round? I mean, I've been hearing everywhere that this is projected to be one of the weakest draft classes in some time for the NBA. But I would just say, even in the loss, Zach Edey, just the amount of minutes he's been playing, I think he led everybody in this NCAA tournament in minutes played. He's 7'4", 300 pounds. He still put up 37 points and 10 rebounds last night. I know it was a losing effort, but Donovan Klingon, the versatility on defense and offense, how he can just go out and guard and he can play. I'm just really impressed with him. And Edey, the 2 7-footers are what stood out to me.
Well, Dave, I know you love your football as well. So who do you think has a better chance to three-peat, UConn or the Chiefs?
So the Kansas City Chiefs with my GOAT Patrick Mahomes or the UConn Huskies? Because football is a brutal sport and one injury can change the trajectory of everything, I'm only going to factor health on the way here. I actually would lean towards the Huskies as more likely to three-peat than I would for the Kansas City Chiefs to three-peat, only because of the brutality of football and how one injury could change everything. Who knows what's going to happen with the wide receiver position, with what just recently is in the news with Rice and the automobile situation, the Lamborghini and the Texas freeway. We'll see if what the suspension, likely he'll have a suspension, or if hopefully he's still on the team. We don't know what's going to happen there. Like, we've got to let the legal process play out, but there's some questions at the wide receiver position for them. Travis Kelce, although probably the greatest tight end in football. He's still another year older. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. He's only getting better. The defense is strong, but, you know, things vary in the NFL, and everyone is going to continue to get better. If you look at, you know, the Chargers getting Harbaugh, the division's going to be more difficult. You got Antonio Pierce right here with our Raiders. The Raiders are going to be more difficult. It's so difficult to win in college basketball as it is in the pros, but just because of the injury factor, I have to lean towards UConn more likely to three-peat.
Hey, and I can't disagree with you, but on the note of football, I do know this past weekend you did get a chance to talk to a couple star football players.
Yeah, and we're going to get them after break. And also, right after break, I do want to talk about where Zach Edey should be drafted in the upcoming NBA draft. Don't go anywhere. This is the Schmo Zone, ESPN Radio, Las Vegas.
Welcome back. We're your hosts, Dave Schmullinson and Helen Yee. Peel back the curtain in the Vegas sports world and beyond.
What's up, party people? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. So while I was in Arizona this past weekend at the celebrity basketball tournament, Helen was here locally competing in swimming at UNLV at her meet, and she came in first place.
Thanks. I mean, didn't go the time I wanted, so kind of sad about that. But, you know, there's always a next time, so.
But you're pursuing your dream, and that's what counts, and you're chopping it away, and you're doing big things. Who else is doing this at your age, coming back and pursuing your dream? And the sport of swimming, that is, when
yeah,
I say your
I'm
age.
Like, I mean, look, we got Mike Tyson over here. I think he's double my age, doing amazing things. So
yeah, but that's Mike Tyson. That's the heavyweight champion of the world. We're putting you in that category, Helen. That's pretty big time.
No, I'm saying, like, you know, being, quote, older, you know.
Okay.
And feeling like, and needing 5 days to recover after you work hard for one day. But, you know, kind of miss being a teenager where you could just work hard and recover in 5 minutes, not 5 days.
And for the record, Mike Tyson's about 30 years older than you. So just throwing that out there.
I know. I got to make a joke here.
Just throwing that out there. But we're going to get to some of that exclusive content that I was able to capture this past week. And I got to sit down with Sugar Sean O'Malley from the UFC. But that celebrity basketball game, I got some unique sound bites. But before we went to break, we were talking about Zach Edey as an NBA draft prospect and where he could go. And he's someone who's averaged 25 and 12 all season. But the big question on him at 7'4", 300 pounds is, can he defend the wing? Will he go out and not be a defensive liability? But after watching him all season and just the way he moves up and down the court, the amount of minutes he played, I think he's athletic enough, and I think he can do it. And if you look at what's going on in the NBA this season alone, what team is in first place in the Western Conference? It's the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, the team that's elected to go to 2 7-footers in their starting lineup, and Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, I think they're doing pretty well for themselves. And earlier today, I was just on the phone catching up with John Sally, you know, an NBA legend, someone who won an NBA championship in 3 different decades. And he said, look, you know, he's going to be able to get down and get buckets, and he's going to find a way. And Zach Edey, if you're an NBA team, like, take the chance on him. So if you don't want him as a lottery pick necessarily, if he falls to you and you're in the middle round of the pack in the first round, I think you got to jump and take him. I do. I really do.
Which teams do you think he'd be a good fit for?
I think any team that just wants to experiment and play big ball. Do you remember, like, a couple decades ago with Mike D'Antoni and those Phoenix Suns teams, the second 7 seconds or less, you know, Amari Stoudemire will play the big, you know, they had Shawn Marion and Steve Nash. And I feel like that started a trend for a lot of teams. And then when the Golden State Warriors, having Klay and Steph in the backcourt and just being able to spread, shoot the three and having big men that can play D and play on the wings, I think it created a trend in the NBA. But trends change. And we're seeing that, and I just think that Zach Edey is a type of guy that could set new trends in the NBA. I don't think that in the scenario that we have with where the league stands, I think things move and shake, and it's about getting buckets, and I think this guy can score buckets.
And I love how you just casually bring up, oh, I was on the phone with John Sally,
I try to get him on the show, but he's brutally honest with me. He says, Schmo, I am not as cute watching sports as I was before, and I want to be prepared. I don't want to look bad. I said, look, John, I have nothing but respect for you. He's into health. He's into wellness. He's doing big things. He'll eventually come back on this show as a guest. I know he will, but right now he's just not as in tune with the sports world, and I respect that.
Well, I know you're really in tune with the sports world. You talked about Sean Marion.
Yes. So he was a team captain. He played with Terrell Owens. It was against Kyler Murray and RG3.
Over the weekend.
Over the weekend. It was at Grand Canyon University, Celebrity Slam Jam, honoring our first responders and troops. It was a celebrity basketball game. I do a lot of cool stuff with these guys, and I was in character. I got to go on the court and interview everybody. Let's start with Kyler Murray. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not used to the schmo character, he's the alter ego of myself. I wear these yellow glasses as a throwback sports reporter where I just, you know, kind of break the ice and I just talk sports with these guys and I kind of add a comedic flair. So don't judge me too much, but let's see what Kyler Murray, the starting quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals, had to say.
This is the schmo with the pro, with the greatest quarterback in the state of Texas in high school football history. Two-time Pro Bowler. He's the starting quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray in the flesh, Grand Canyon University, Celebrity Sweat, charity basketball game. How we doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
The schmo can't complain. How important is it for you to be here on the hardwood supporting this great cause for our first responders?
It's huge. It's huge. Like I said, I got family background in the military. So for me to be able to come out and give back, and watch some guys hoop and have fun, and it's an honor.
What's the most rewarding thing about being a starting quarterback in the NFL?
It's a good question. Honestly, man, just for me, being able to be blessed to be in the NFL is a dream of mine to be where I'm at right now. So to be living that out, my biggest goal is to win Super Bowls. So we got to get there. As far as everything I've accomplished, I'm not satisfied, so.
Mount Rushmore of Kyler Murray's for greatest quarterbacks in the NFL, past or present?
Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Aaron Rodgers. Man, that's tough. I'll throw Peyton in there. Just, you caught me off guard, so those are four on my mind right now.
Favorite pass to throw in football, what's your favorite?
Probably a go ball, fade.
And what's everyone going to be saying at the end of the season about you, Kyler Murray, when you get back to the Pro Bowl ways?
Not really worried about what they say.
That's right.
Yeah.
And can we get a final message for all the Kyler Murray fans out there worldwide?
I love you all. I appreciate you. Let's go.
He's the pro. I'm the schmo. On the court, GCU. We're out.
The schmo catches Kyler Murray off guard. That was a good question, though.
I had to. And look, I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, what was all the trade rumors in this offseason? Are you going to be a Minnesota Viking? Are you going to stay here in Arizona? I'm not going to do that to him. Obviously, he wants to be an Arizona Cardinal player. The Vikings went out. They got Sam Darnold. They might even trade up. Who knows if that's going to happen? But I did catch him off guard with his Mount Rushmore. He left off my go, Patrick Mahomes. Interesting enough. Interesting enough.
Hey, I thought you would call him out for that.
Nah, well, look, you know, Kyler Murray never lost a high school football game. He was an absolute star. I met him for the first time in 2015 in Los Angeles when he won the Gatorade Athlete of the Year Award for best high school player. Absolute stud. Class act, military background. He wants to win Super Bowls. They love him in Arizona. But, yeah, caught him off guard. He's a great dude indeed. Let's see who else I talked to in that show. Let's kick it to RG3 and Terrell Owens. I wanted to get their opinion because over the weekend, Stephon Diggs was traded from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans. So that was a recurring question I had asked these guys. Let's play
that. What does Stephon Diggs do for the Texans?
Oh, my gosh. Listen, C.J. Stroud never needed Stephon Diggs. He already had the greatest rookie year of all time. Now, giving him a true number one wide receiver, along with Tank Dell and Nico Collins and Joe Mixon and that defense. Ooh-wee! Texans are the best team in Texas right now. They're the best team in Texas.
What do you make of Stephon Diggs going to the Texans?
Hey, it's a great pickup for the Texans. CJ got another weapon in addition to the two that he already had. So, again, it's going to be a great addition to their team. They did very well last year. Hey, we'll see what happens.
A threat to the Chiefs kingdom, the Houston Texans, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, once the maturity gets there with CJ, he's blossoming definitely as a rookie. You saw what he did last year. He's only going to get better.
Marvin Harrison Jr., is he the real deal? The clear-cut number one guy coming out as wide receiver?
Yeah, absolutely. He did a great job at Ohio State, coming from a great pedigree, DNA from his dad, Marvin Harrison Sr. So look out for this guy. He's definitely the real deal, definitely deserving, whether it's first-round pick, second pick of the draft.
What's your 40 these days?
Fast enough.
Fast enough?
Yeah, fast enough.
Final message for all the Terrell Owens fans out there worldwide.
Get your popcorn ready.
Gotta love T.O.
Yeah.
So, Terrell Owens, arguably one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. Maybe you put Jerry Rice and you put Marvin Harrison above him, but that would really be it on my short list. So, had to ask him about Marvin Harrison Jr. You get a reaction from him. He's endorsing him as the top wide receiver. Take him one or two overall. But also hearing what they had to say about Diggs, and that was RG3 as well. Robert Griffin III, Rookie of the Year, Heisman Trophy winner. He was a stud, but both of those guys talking about what the Houston Texans have. If you look at that offense, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, a tight end, Dalton Schultz, Brevin Jordan, who I really like, by the way, is a sneaky guy in fantasy. Brevin Jordan, he had a great end of season last year when Dalton Schultz went down with an injury. And then also C.J. Stroud now in his second year. I really like what they're doing in Houston. Bobby Slowick, he's staying there as the offensive coordinator. He could have been a head coach. D'Amico Ryans, we know how he was as a football player and as a defensive mind, as a head coach. Another year, they overachieved last year. I really like what they're building over there in Houston, and these guys do too.
And don't you kind of go way back a little with Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, Stephon Diggs, of course. You know, we brought this up on the show. Playing in a celebrity basketball game, Floyd Mayweather's here at UNLV, and then getting stuck in the elevator with him going down to the locker room, having the fire department bring us out because we were stuck there for 2 hours. The freight elevator over there at the UNLV basketball courts in the Cox Pavilion, it got stuck.
I know. It was literally 2 hours because I was waiting for you to come out of the elevator, and I saw there were like, I think, six firefighters or something, like, try to open that thing. It was, like, stuck.
You know, I play the character the schmo, but in that moment, or in that schmoment, I'd say, I've never felt like more of a schmo being surrounded by so many pros. I think both Diggs brothers were in there. Deontay Johnson was in that elevator. So much great football royalty was in that elevator. Deebo Samuel was stuck in that elevator, too. All these star wide receivers that played in that game. So that is a really fun memory. Also, one other interview I want to catch is with Le'Veon Bell, former Steelers Pro Bowl running back.
What do you think's the biggest surprise in the free agency where the running backs landed this offseason?
Ooh, the biggest surprise?
Yeah.
Damn, that's a hard one. I think I like the move Saquon going to the Eagles. I think that was a big shocker, you know what I'm saying? Him being a Giants guy, going to the Eagles, a rivalry, in-division rival, I think that's a big surprise. But it was a lot of shockers, but that's my biggest shocker, I think.
Who's on Le'Veon Bell's Mount Rushmore, greatest running backs all time?
Greatest running backs all time. You got Barry Sanders, LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson. That fourth one is always hard for me, but I'm gonna go Marshall Faulk.
There you go. I love asking that Mount Rushmore question to these guys because they're just pure. They're some of the best guys to ever play, and they're brutally honest with it. But, yeah, I think Saquon being an Eagle, that's a big shocker. There's a lot of huge running backs if you think about it. If you really sit there and think about how crazy this NFL offseason's been so far. Austin Eckler is now a Washington Commander. Derrick Henry going to the Baltimore Ravens. We brought up Joe Mixon being a Houston Texan. And Saquon Barkley going from the Giants to the Eagles with that rivalry. You have Le'Veon Bell pointing that out. I mean, that's big. But I do have to give Le'Veon a little flack. I mean, it's hard to argue with these guys when they list their Mount Rushmore. But I'm a Chicago guy. How do you leave Sweetness, Walter Payton, off anybody's Mount Rushmore? Emmitt Smith's got all the records, but Sweetness, man, he could do everything.
Well, maybe if they had a fifth person.
Yeah,
that they can name.
But then it's not a Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. Maybe top five, the Schmoes top five.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, Marshall Faulk, such a game changer. One of those elite guys who could catch the ball out of the backfield. AP running through the tackles. I have a great history with him. I love Adrian Peterson. In my opinion, for sure, best running back of my generation.
And you've been to his house.
Been to his house in Houston. LaDainian Tomlinson, and his prime. Ugh. And then Barry Sanders, I mean, the best pure runner to ever hold the rock. I mean, anyone who doesn't have Barry Sanders on their Mount Rushmore is just completely crazy and out of their mind. I haven't heard anybody that I've asked this question to leave Barry Sanders off their Mount Rushmore.
You have his jersey.
Yes, I do. And I'm a Bears fan, but and of course a Raiders fan here. Got a Max Crosby jersey as well. Shout out to him. He's a great dude. Absolutely loaded week of sports too.
Yeah, here in Las Vegas, because you mentioned Le'Veon Bell, I know he's been boxing here and there. We're in the fight capital of the world. We have PFL light heavyweight champion, Impa Kasanganai. He'll be joining us after the break.
He'll be joining us here shortly after the break. And then we also have UFC 300, an absolutely loaded week of combat sports. You know, 12 current or former champions are going to be on that UFC card. It's the biggest night in UFC history. Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill. I mean, everywhere. Even the first fight of the card on the prelims, you have two former champions, yeah, and Davison Figueiredo in the flyweight division,
Garbrandt.
And Cody Garbrandt in the bantamweight division. It's just nonstop
action.
I'm
so excited. And I know even for us, like our interviews and stuff, it's going to start tonight.
Yes. I mean, our fight week, like we're going to be doing PFL and UFC double duty this week. So absolutely loaded, but we are blessed to be joined after break with PFL's light heavyweight champion, Impa Kasanganai. So don't go anywhere. He's going to be right here in studio, the Schmo Zone, ESPN Radio, Las Vegas.
Now you're back into the Schmo Zone on ESPN Las Vegas.
Welcome back to the Schmo Zone, party people. I'm Dave Schmolenson, a.k.a. the Schmo.
And I'm Helen Yee.
And we are joined now with the main event for PFL 2 here at the theater, the Virgin Hotels in Las Vegas. He's 15-4. He's the PFL light heavyweight champion, Impa Kasanganai. Impa, we go back, man. We really appreciate you coming out here. You're a couple days away from headlining this big fight card right here in Las Vegas, fight capital of the world. Just so proud of you and everything you've achieved.
Man, thank you so much. It's always fun to see y'all. I'm super, super grateful. I was laughing, like, you know, just reflecting before the show how many times we've seen each other in person in different phases in life, whether I was at welterweight, middleweight, and now here and in your studio. I mean, it's a big honor, so thank you.
And how special is it for you to now return to Las Vegas but be headlining, you know, at the Virgin Hotel, yeah, and this huge PFL event going down this weekend?
Man, there are a lot of times of reflection here. I remember my first time coming to Vegas, actually. You know, we wrapped my teammate in saran wrap right behind the Westgate.
In saran wrap?
Right outside the Westgate Hotel, which is funny to be back. But to be at the Virgin and then my first main event on a major card at the PFL and all the growth that has been happening, like, they could have chosen anybody else. And, you know, they chose me. God's really blessed me. And it's a testimony to my team, testimony to my family. And I'm taking it in and really owning this moment. It's an absolute blessing.
And it's very well deserved.
Thank you so much.
And you're facing former LFA light heavyweight champion Alex Polizzi. I mean, this is a big time opportunity for you to showcase everything. And recently, PFL and Bellator merger, huge competition. Like, what does this truly mean to you?
Man, for me, this means I get out in the moment, right? This is what I've been praying for, what I've been working for years. And I didn't come into MMA to be just another guy. I didn't come here to just fight and be okay. I'm here to be the best, right? And to fight a guy who's won his championship, you know, no matter where he's won it, respect to Alex Polizzi, good fighter, you know, passed by him, until I never spoke much, you know, it's just, I'm excited to get after it. Man, I'm so blessed because the fact that I can headline this card, show what I can do. It's like I get to really release like what's inside me. And that's going to be a lot of fun because this is going to be one of those cards where you're like, maybe introduce myself in my last fight in the PFL, you know, Bellator merger fight. And then you see the championship fight. Okay, he's done this. But there's been a lot of growth since then. And I'm going to dominate from the beginning to the end. And I'm looking forward to it.
What was it like back in November when you won the 2023 PFL light heavyweight $1 million tournament? That had to have been the most special moment of your life to date.
Heck yeah, that was cool. Because, like, you know, I've talked to you so many times. So you've seen, like, the growth. Like, Well, we talk about the Buckley knockout. We talk about like sleeping in the car. You talk about transitioning gyms, that new space, right? Having my lip busted open, I think, when I saw you. I was out of training. And then, you know, I'm looking down and see a belt wrapped around my waist, a major promotional belt, like one of the best promotions in the world, against a really good fighter from a great gym. There's a lot of history there. Killcliff, ATT, right? All that stuff. And then you get the $1 million. You can look at your parents and be like, things are changing for the better. And I can, like, see my future family in my head one day and just saying, like, these moments are what helped our lives and help your life coming up, you know?
And you and Dave mentioned before about just kind of how many weight classes you fought before, middleweight, mm-hmm. welterweight. When did you know that, you know what, light heavyweight, this is where I'm meant to fight and this is where, you know, what's most comfortable for me?
I loved it because light heavyweight for me was, and I appreciate you asking that because we always talk about it. For me, it's like the weight class doesn't matter so much. I just want to fight whoever, whenever, wherever. So we started realizing success here, and it's like, I guess, you know, there's no weight cut. I just kind of take a shower on my weight and then let's go. And guys will say you're undersized. People will say this, that. Like, I never cared, you know. Like, I started doing this 5 years ago. So just figuring it out. And then when we started fighting, staying active, yeah, five fights in a year, I was like, oh, this is where I need to be because this is where I can – realize the most success and stay consistent without it really tearing up my body or my mind or my brain. And here we go. So just being in the PFL, man, I'm just so happy because it's like, man, I can fight every single week it feels like, and it's a cool place to be.
Your story is absolutely incredible. I mean, life is full of trials and tribulations. Like, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. Mm-hmm. You brought up the Joaquin Buckley knockout, which yeah. might be the most viral knockout in martial arts history, but you being who you are and to persevere to win the PFL light heavyweight tournament championship and to be in the position you are, that speaks volumes of your character and who you are. How do you have that maturation, that mindset to just take any terrible moment and still reach your absolute best? And you're still not at your best. You're still growing and you're continuing to grow and just become a superstar in your own right, making your own path and your own narrative.
Well, thank you. Two things. It's my family, how they raised me, and my faith. I would say my faith is the center. I mean, my family's my number one. You know, I just know, like, everything works together because, you know, God's got a plan for me. And, like, you know, I say I wear the cowboy hat, I do that because, like, for me, it's just like you get up and you keep riding. You get up, you keep working, you keep moving forward. And that's the attitude that I take. And I moved to Killcliff, the gym that I'm at now, right after the Buckley fight. I needed training partners who could beat me up. And I went through it in the beginning. You know, I was getting challenged every single day, but I would wear a cowboy hat to spar in because I just realized that it's like inspiration for me. Every single day, I get up, I get the hat back on, and I move forward. I got to live on a farm a little bit, really learn that life. And my dad always told me, he's like, I don't care where you are in the world, be successful, right? After the Buckley fight, my dad called me and says, don't come back home unless you won that fight. And he said, you're going to finish the guy, because I told him I would. And that's how my parents raised me tough, raised me with a lot of love. And they said, you know, with God, you can do all things. And that's where I keep my faith in my foundation. So I wasn't shaking. I wasn't like, oh, man. After that Buckley fight, when I got back from Abu Dhabi, I was training that Monday. And I was hoping I could fight. Then I find out that I was like suspended for 60 days. And I was like, wait, I'm suspended for 60 days. And all I did was just figure out how I could be the best version of myself. I don't cry about it. I move forward. You know, whatever, it's a bad decision, bad knockout, whatever. I just move forward. I keep fighting.
You have such a great mindset. And you mentioned, you know, how special the cowboy hat is. So how many hats do you have?
I have two right now. I'm going to get a hat. I'm going to do one hat a year for each year. I had three, but I messed up one.
How'd you mess it up?
It was more like a leatherish one, so it had, and I left it in the heat, and it just got all deformed.
Oh, the Florida heat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And for those who obviously can't see us right now, we're here in studio talking to Impa Kasaganai, PFL light heavyweight champion. He's rocking his cowboy hat, so that's why we're having this conversation too. Training at Killcliff FC, one of the best gyms and the entire world, located in South Florida, a ton of killers. So who are some of the guys that you train with day in and day out that have brought you to the position you're in today?
Oh, man, it goes way back. Well, I have Delato Taylor here, one of my first training partners. The guy cornered me my first fight ever when I was in the UFC and all that. Like, absolutely crazy, awesome, great friend. You know, he's a big reason I'm in the PFL. He was fighting in the PFL, and he recommended that Impa fight to me. They're like, what weight class? He said he'll fight anywhere. Then that really sparked the flame for that. And then, you know, you look at Jason Jackson, Gregory Rodriguez, Brendan Allen. We trained a lot before his last fight with Chris Curtis, and what like a barn burner that was.
Shout out to him. He just won this past weekend here in Vegas.
Yeah, and I pray he gets his title shot too. You know,
against Dricus, someone that you've trained with also, Killcliff.
Yep, Dricus, you know, training with him too. And I trained with Dricus early when we were still Sanford. And man, he's a good fighter. Respect him. He comes down to fight. He comes to scrap, you know. Whatever, he's a tough guy and he knows how to win fights. And that guy, I respect that.
So what gives Brendan Allen all the confidence? Because he called him out on the mic. What gives him the confidence that he would beat Dricus? I mean, you've trained with both these guys.
Yeah, Brendan Allen's a dog and he's a very smart fighter. He knows fighting. He's been doing it. Brendan's not going to quit. He can get hurt. He could get whatever. But Brendan's a complete MMA fighter. Good guy, too. And he knows how to, like, work different positions in fights. And just he's a caring guy. And when he's committed to something, he's gonna go stick it, you know, go through it. A lot of people in that fight with Chris Curtis may have folded or, you know, went down and they lost to the guy before. But what Brendan said stuck out to me. He's like, is this guy gonna have his number? No, he could have lived with that, because they asked him what inspired him, right? And in his post fight interviews, he's like, no, this guy sitting here thinks he has my number, and as a man, I'm gonna go prove that to myself. I think he even put the title shot, he put the money aside. He's like, he's a true fighter, a true warrior, and man, I pray that my great friend, man, you know, gets that title shot because he earned it.
Well, it looks like right now the title shot might be Izzy. Do you think he's most well-deserving?
Oh, man, life. We could always argue about who's deserving, but I just think, like, everything works together for the good, so you should never stress it. Whether it's you fight again, and then you're next in line for a title, or it sets it up. Like, I think we get frustrated and don't see the great plan that we have in life, so we miss out on those things. Izzy is deserving. He's helped build this sport. He's done great work. But I don't think that means Brandon's not deserving either. Izzy's done a lot for what we've done as fighters. He's done a lot for African fighters, so I support him. I think in this next step in line, I think that Brandon's earned the shot, and it'd be cool to see. I get it, but as long as he stays patient, doesn't get frustrated, and doesn't lose faith or hope, it's only going to give him time to get better. And when he steps in that fight and know whenever that day is, he'll be prepared and ready to go. You can't cry about what you don't get in life, but you can always prepare for what you want. And I think that Brendan's doing the right things, and soon enough you will see a middleweight title in the UFC wrapped around Brendan's waist.
What about Michael Chandler? I know he's been in and out of Killcliff FC. Does he have a fight? Does he not have a fight? No. I mean, what's it like with that guy inside the gym?
Man, he's fun. It's cool. The energy of the gym shifts because, you know, he's one of the original guys from, I want to say, the Black Zillion days before I even got there. He's super respectful to me. He sent me a few voice messages and memos between fights here and there, and it's pretty cool to see a guy, you know, he can. I don't see him all the time because he mostly does camps. But when he comes in, there's a lot of high energy, a lot of, like, lights and cameras in the gym. But I know he's working. He's waiting to hear about the fight. I know with the McGregor, it's on, it's off, it's on, it's off, or whoever knows what game the UFC's playing. But I think that he will that'd be a pretty cool one. I think he maybe can just snipe McGregor, drop him, blast him, who knows, you know. One thing you say about Michael Chandler, he's not in a boring fight, and he's going to come to fight. So he trains that way, too. There's a ton of respect for him at the gym. I know that many people have seen him grow from being Bellator champion to where he is now, and it's cool. He's securing his family's life.
Let's talk about Francis Ngannou. Yes. I mean, obviously, he just had the big boxing fight. Mm-hmm. It didn't go his way against Anthony Joshua. He went toe-to-toe with Tyson Fury. Mm-hmm. Arguable decision there, but are we going to see him compete in the heavyweight division? I know you'd fight anyone, anytime, anywhere. Would it be crazy for you to go up to heavyweight and challenge Francis Ngannou at some point?
It's not crazy at all. Francis, if you hear this, I want that fight. Let's get it. I know, I think the first fight he has was Hayden Ferreira because he won that super fight with Ryan Bader. But man, I want that fight, you know. So for me, it's like, claim the victory this year, get the title, find that super fight again, take out Johnny Eblen, move up to heavyweight, take out all the heavyweights, take out Francis Ngannou next.
What about Jake Paul? I mean, I know he's boxing Mike Tyson, but he's involved with the PFL. Is he going to get inside the cage?
Hey, Jake Paul, if he's really about it and he wants to fight without some, you know, garbage rule set, let's do it then, because I want him to see him really, really fight. You know, I respect him. You know what's the same thing I can say about him and anything he does? They say the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. He's consistent, right? About the same weight, 85, 205, 200, 195, 192.346, I don't care. Just say, if he really wants to fight and he wants to make it about it, I'm not here to make a show about it, but I'm here to fight. And I think he's doing a great job growing and getting attention to this. But fighters fight. No weird rule sets, no fake fighters, no basketball players, no retired boxers, whatever the thing you want to do and all this stuff. No 60-year-old men, shout out to Tyson, God bless him. But if you're really here to fight, come fight and see what it's about.
But realistically, who would be a first opponent for him, though? I mean, I just heard you list all those conditions. No 60-year-old, you know, no basketball players.
Impa Sungunai.
At what weight, though?
Whatever weight you want.
Whatever weight he wants.
170 and up. Let's get it.
He might drain you to 170, and he fights you at 195.
I won't miss. I'll get him.
I love that mindset.
We're talking to Impa Kasanganai, PFL light heavyweight champion. It all goes down Friday at the Virgin Hotels here in Las Vegas, PFL 2. Kind enough to join us here in studio. So, I mean, what are your nerves like here? We're 3 days out from the fight. I know you're going to have a weight cut, maybe a weight cut. I mean, you're yeah. always looking like
what
you're
What do you
in
walk
shape.
Around at now?
210, 208. Okay. Yeah, I'm probably just going to get in the shower, go for a walk with my dog, and then I'll be on weight. So, no nerves. I'm at peace. I know I'm meant to be here. I love fighting. The fighting is the peaceful part. I mean, everything else, like you're running around doing these different things. Like, I love to fight. When that cage door closes, the most quiet, most peaceful place to be. Like, you know that what that person wants to do. You know what I'm here to do. And I respect my opponent. I know Alex Police is an excellent fighter. He's going to come fight. And I'm going to go claim his victory. You see me finish my hands raised. Going to dominate. And that's it. Like, it's simple, right? I get to do what I love. Say there's nerves. No. There's excitement. There's eagerness. There's love for what I do. I thank God I get a – I say MMA is my ministry. I hope somebody can see my fight and they can just hear me talk to them after and realize this is not the time for you to quit on your life. If you look, my life as a testimony. God's brought me a long way. You know, sometimes we look at, you know, hard situations like, oh, this happened to you in life, and then realize sometimes we forget that we put ourselves there too. It's been a turnaround. So every time I step in that cage, I'm just filled with gratitude. And, man, put those 4-ounce gloves. I'm ready to go.
This has to be the biggest weekend in combat sports history in Las Vegas with PFL 2 and UFC 300, just like the extra eyeballs that are going to be here in person and on the television sets because of everything going on. That's got to add some extra motivation too.
I never thought about it that way. That's kind of cool, actually. Yeah. Fighting on this one of the biggest fight weekends in fighting history. And I don't know, you kind of got me at lost words right there. That's a really cool. I never thought about it that way. It's funny how things work out, right?
It really is. I mean, so if you once you take care of your business too, the next night there's going to be huge fights. Is there a fight on 300 that you're looking forward to the most? I mean,
oh yeah, oh man, Jamal Hill fights Pereira, right?
Yeah,
I always like to watch the light heavyweights and go. You know, heavyweights and light heavyweights. It's always fun to see Oliveira and Armin Sarukin. Mm-hmm. He's a heavy hitter. He's a heavy hitter, and Oliveira's amazing, right? Those two fights stick out. Of course, you know, Kayla Harrison transitioned over. See how she does. God bless her. You know, see what she's doing. I know she. I bumped into her a few times when she was with the PFL, but I know she's doing some great work, and I think that her – I hope she does well. You know, I always wish everybody well where they're going. What other great fights on that card? Those three fights definitely stick out to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. Also the BMF title, too, with Justin Gaethje.
Oh,
Max
man.
That's
what,
on
was I, what was I not thinking?
That's, no, that's no, the you fight gave great ones.
Yeah, that's exciting. Shout out to Max Holloway always stepping up, and shout out to Gaethje for always bringing great fights.
But Kayla Harrison, I mean, she's on a quest to becoming the greatest combat sports athlete of all time, and she certainly would have a case for that if she gets a gold strap at UFC because she's already won the multi-million-dollar tournament multiple times with PFL. Yeah. So she's, and then we know she's a gold medalist, multi-time gold medalist too. So she's going to make a case for herself.
Yeah, how cool is that, right? And it's cool to see, you know, people, whatever promotion you're in, like PFL, UFC belt, like you're making the most of your family's life. And for somebody to do something special like that, to be a gold medalist at anything, wow, respect to you. And in judo, and then now, you know, MMA champion, that transition. I've seen people try to transition and not just do well. Like some people don't like getting hit in the face, some people can't transition their skills over. She did that, and now she's here, you know, in the UFC and doing her thing and fighting, like I said, one of the biggest fight cards in the year, one of the biggest fight weekends in history. So much respect to her. God bless her. Healthy weight cut. And, man, like I'm excited to see her do her thing.
Excellent. So prediction in the light heavyweight championship between Pereira and Jamal Hill?
Man, why are you going to do like that? Jamal Hill fights smart. He gets Pereira. I'm going to say Jamal Hill is my choice, but he's got to be smart because Pereira can, you know, definitely crack, and he doesn't need to go try to, maybe for himself, he might need to prove that he can knock him out, but just show you the better fighter, right? His heart, he went toe-to-toe, go over to Sheriff for a while. I would say that Pereira hits harder, so be smart, but I'm going to call Jamal Hill.
And how do you win on Friday night?
Dominate, first round finish, you know, push the pace, listen to my coaches, stay intelligent. And, man, knockout or submission.
And what do you do in Vegas to celebrate?
Get back with my team, get to Airbnb, head over to the Westgate Resorts, and then just like have a great time there. Then I hit the road. I'm going on a road trip, actually.
Where are you going?
Yeah, I'm going. I got invited to MotoGP. I work with Triumph Motorcycles. They've been really great to me. So I did a motorcycle ride after the championship last year. And I'm going to take the truck and start overlanding. I'm taking Chilobos Trek, which is my fight name, my journey. So going to head over to MotoGP, pick up a motorcycle from Triumph, enjoy the races in Austin, Texas over the weekend. And then I'm going to do the motorcycle ride from Austin to New Orleans, Biloxi, Mississippi, Leeds, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, where the Triumph headquarters are, check out another race. Then I'll drive down to Florida, go to Ocala, ride some horses, Lake Okeechobee, and then back to training camp.
Do you put a helmet on or you keep the cowboy hat on?
I put a helmet on, but I need to get like a cowboy sticker at least, a cowboy hat sticker, and put it on my helmet.
There it is.
That's so awesome. And how long does that journey usually take?
This one was probably a 10-day trip. I might try to condense it into 7, yeah.
That's Sounds amazing. Like you have a good plan right here.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're going to document it along the way, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Well, Impa, it's been an honor to have you in studio. We wish you all the luck. Friday evening, go there right now. The Virgin.
PFL.
I mean, yeah, PFL. PFL 2 at the Virgin Hotels right here. We can't wait to see you compete inside the cage.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless y'all.
Of course. This is the Schmo Zone on ESPN Radio Las Vegas.
We are out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.